Trust and mutual respect are the foundation for this shift and for using motivational interviewing. The method of motivational interviewing consists of a defined set of communication skills, such as curious, open-ended questions, listening statements, affirmations, and summaries. And these are used to draw out the athlete's ideas about how they might improve on and off the field.
Welcome to the PT Rebels podcast. This is the place to learn how you can become a PT Rebel and take charge of your own health and wellness. We will help you find answers to your questions about pain, injury, and the path towards healing in the most efficient and effective way possible. I'm your host, Dr. Gina Fick.
Welcome back to the PT Rebels podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about coaching athletes to be their best and applying motivational interviewing in sports and physical therapy. We will explore the groundbreaking work of Stephen Rolnick and his colleagues in their book, Coaching Athletes to Be Their Best, and how these principles can be applied by physical therapists working with athletes. I was in a conference a few weeks ago in Seattle. The conference was a running conference with Chris Johnson and Jay Dasari, and they recommended that physical therapists read this book in order to enhance their motivational interviewing skills with athletes. Motivational interviewing is a proven approach to harness the power of conversations, to build relationships, and establish trust. And in the context of sports and physical therapy, we feel like motivational interviewing can really be a game changer for coaches and physical therapists alike. At the core of motivational interviewing is a shift in mindset from being a coach or instructor or physical therapist to being a guide. And this approach emphasizes empathy over direction, collaboration over authority, and autonomy over strict control. And as physical therapists, we can adopt this mindset by listening actively to athletes' concerns and involving athletes in the treatment decision process. We also want to encourage athletes to take ownership of their recovery process. Some of the key motivational skills for physical therapists are affirmation, number one. Affirmation is a powerful tool in motivational interviewing because it involves recognizing and acknowledging the athlete's strengths, efforts, and also their positive behaviors, things they're doing right. Physical therapists can use affirmations to boost the athlete's confidence in their recovery process and to reinforce positive behaviors and adherence to treatment plans that we've set for them. It also helps to build a stronger therapeutic alliance between physical therapists and athletes alike who are going through the rehab process. Another key skill for physical therapists to adopt is rolling with resistance. And they talk about this in the book, but when athletes show resistance to change or treatment, the motivational interviewing approach suggests rolling with resistance rather than confronting it directly. So physical therapists can acknowledge the athlete's perspective and explore reasons behind why they may be resistant to a certain form of treatment or a certain plan. So I think one of the key things is sitting down with your athlete and listening to them. Sometimes we try to talk more than we listen. And I think one of the best skills as physical therapists that we can use is good listening techniques and then asking the right questions. This is why I think it's so important for you athletes out there who are listening to work with a physical therapist who has a good understanding of some of these strategies, so you can effectively partner with that physical therapist to optimize your recovery and rehab process. Some of the practical strategies for physical therapists are connecting rapidly with your patient or with the athlete. Building quick rapport is really crucial in both coaching, but also in physical therapy. And this book suggests strategies for connecting very quickly with athletes, which physical therapists can adapt. In the process of listening, we want to show genuine interest in the athlete's sport and goals. We want to use open-ended questions to understand the athlete's perspective and also share relevant personal experiences in order to build trust. For instance, when I have a patient who comes in with an ACL injury, at some point in the conversation, I always tell them that I dealt with the same injury my freshman year of college tore my ACL in the fifth game of my season. I use it to be able to help the athlete understand that I understand where they're coming from and I sympathize for the process that they're going through. In terms of building motivation, there's three strategies that they talk about in the book. And the first one is ask, offer, and ask. This strategy involves asking permission before offering advice. So you can say, would it be okay if I shared with you some pieces of advice that I think could really help you? The offer is providing information and then asking for the athlete's thoughts on what you've just told them. Number two is empathetic listening statements. So these are reflective statements that demonstrate understanding of the athlete's feelings and experiences. And then the third thing is responding intentionally. This involves choosing responses with the athlete that establish trust and also motivate the athlete. In enhancing performance and recovery for the athlete that you're working with, physical therapists can use motivational interviewing techniques to help athletes set realistic goals, address concerns about returning to sport, and to motivate compliance with the rehab plan. We want to improve teamwork between the athlete, physical therapist, coach, and other healthcare providers such as athletic trainers. That's crucial. We've talked about it all the time on the podcast. And motivational interviewing principles can help facilitate better communication as team members, resolve conflicts constructively, and promote a unified approach to the athlete's recovery. Oftentimes, athletes need to make lifestyle changes to support their recovery or to prevent future injuries. Motivational interviewing can be effective in exploring the athlete's readiness to change. Sometimes that can really be a big obstacle. Also, helping athletes develop intrinsic motivation for those lifestyle modifications and supporting athletes in creating and implementing action plans. These could be things like improving hydration, improving sleep, improving nutrition, decreasing time on social media, a various number of things that can really help support their recovery or prevent future injuries, but we want the athlete to be bought into those. We also look at cultural considerations. Physical therapists should be aware of those cultural differences when applying motivational interviewing techniques. And so this book emphasizes the importance of connecting across cultures. There are a lot of things that are culturally driven in terms of mindset and framework and how the athlete may respond to your interview questions. And so it's very important to consider. So I wanted to dive a little bit deeper in the back of this book, Coaching Athletes to Be Their Best Motivational Interviewing in Sports. They have a quick reference for learning about and applying motivational interviewing. And so I wanted to go over some of the basics here with you because I think it's really important as physical therapists to be doing this with our patients. What do we call it? Oh, the first section in the playbook is called Coaching Mastery. And it's a guide for parents, coaches, and support staff, such as physical therapists. As a parent, when I started reading this, it really resonated with me. You might be on the car on the way home, in the locker room, or on the side of the playing field or track or at home. You might be a parent or coach or in any other role on the team. Things may or may not have gone well in the game, and you may have a moment that you feel like you could be helpful for that athlete. Here are some guidelines. Number one, the philosophy. Here's the philosophy I think that we need to adopt. Sport is important, but life as a whole is more important. People first, athletes second. Advice without connection can be harmful. When athletes feel upset or frustrated, give them the time and support that they need to recover. Learning happens best when they feel connected and calm. I see a lot of parents or coaches talking to athletes when the athlete's very upset. I don't think that's the best time to have a deep conversation, especially as parents. We need to let that athlete have their time and their moment and to step away and pick the right moment and time to talk with the athlete. Making mistakes is how people learn. As parents, I think we want to protect our children or protect our athletes, even if they're not a child, if they're in college or even into the professional world. But realizing that when we make mistakes, that's how we learn. I think that helps in the framework of motivational interviewing and talking with the athletes. We need to trust the athletes to learn from their mistakes. And what that athlete notices from a mistake is more important than what you notice. So if you notice something as a parent or a coach, it's important and we want the athlete to understand that, but it's more important what the athlete takes away from that and notices and gains than maybe what we notice as well. We want the athlete to be in the right mindset. We want to connect and empathize with how the athletes feel and ask them before telling them. We want to notice and highlight the strengths first and listen while they tell you why and how they might improve. We want to summarize the positive things that they tell you and ask them what the next step might be and what a good plan might look like. I think this is really important because that helps the athlete grow in maturity and in communication skills and helps them summarize the information that they've learned from the learning process and move forward with a good plan. Coaching is a skill set. Physical therapy does involve coaching, especially when you're working with athletes. So I think it's important to understand that coaching is an art and it also involves certain skills that you need to be good at. It takes time, courage, and humility to be a good coach. You never arrive at a destination of being a good coach or a good physical therapist. The journey never ends. This is one thing that I tell our students when they're here from different universities doing rotations with us, is that there's not one point in time that you will become a great physical therapist. It's a constant process and journey over time. And that journey never ends. Enjoyment and connecting are infectious and lead to happier outcomes. When you are very connected or having fun coaching or working with athletes, that's contagious and will generally lead to better outcomes, in my opinion. Relationships are the foundation of masterful coaching and motivational interviewing. Good relationships in sports don't just happen, and good relationships with your athletes or patients doesn't just happen, but they are worked on and built upon. They do not cost any money. Athletes thrive on them, and they correlate with well-being, higher motivation, better teamwork, and improved performance. Poor relationships demotivate athletes and can spread into the culture of a team like a virus. It's essential to work on these relationships, whether you're in an athletic setting, sports performance center, a physical therapy clinic, anytime that you're working with clients, patients, athletes, these things are key and foundational. So I wanted to discuss that for a minute. The first component of the foundation of masterful coaching is developing trust. We talk about this a lot in our clinic with our clients. We want to work on building trust on a day-to-day basis. Distrust brings the worst out of athletes. It makes it harder to motivate them. It undermines their self-confidence and affects their performance. Developing trust is not about being weak, soft, or losing control of decisions. When developing trust, you want to be reliable and you want to follow through on your decisions. You want to be consistent, caring, and honest, and be transparent. You want to avoid talking about athletes behind their backs and develop practice routines that focus on player cooperation. You want to communicate well and show interest in them as people in their lives outside of sports. That's really important because it shows the athlete that you really care. It shows patients that you really care as physical therapists. You want to listen to their concerns. Listening is so important to developing trust. And again, I think sometimes physical therapists in particular make the mistake of talking too much right off the bat. I think we just need to sit down and listen. You want to address problems by being clear and compassionate at the same time. Clear is kind, and clear helps develop trust. And so when you're clear with an athlete about their diagnosis, their strengths, their weaknesses, where you feel like things could improve, this builds trust and also shows the athlete that you really care. You also want to show respect. It's only by showing respect yourself that you can earn it. Its absence undermines the relationships and good progress and can cross over into bullying, abuse, and harassment. I've seen this on teams and I've seen this in the workplace, and it's very toxic and it's not a very good place to be. And in a clinic environment, what we really want to foster is an environment of trust and respect. In a fun environment where people really enjoy being here, we want to highlight respect as a core principle and provide examples of what respect is and what respect isn't to the athletes. And we want to model respect for others and provide a safe space for the athletes to feel like they can really open up and talk. Listening is a key practice for modeling respect. So again, we go back to listening and the importance of that in all that we do. We want to encourage enjoyment and fun. It will be easier to be successful as a physical therapist when you and your athletes enjoy their sport and enjoy the physical therapy process alike. Look after your own well-being. Search for opportunities to enjoy yourself. and look for opportunities for players or athletes to have fun in your clinic. Ask athletes for ideas for building fun into the clinic or into practice routines if you're a coach. You want to express empathy as well. And this is a skill and the most direct route to building relationships, improving trust, and showing respect for athletes. This is probably one of the things that I learned early on from one of my mentors, is the importance not only of listening, of trust building, but also showing empathy. And you want to ask open-ended questions about their issues and convey your understanding through using listening statements and summaries. Motivational interviewing uses a good relationship as a foundation to help athletes motivate themselves and make plans that make sense to them and also to you. So some of you might be asking, what is motivational interviewing? What does that look like? Motivational interviewing can be thought of as a coaching style, and it's comprised of communication tools and strategies for drawing out athletes' internal motivation for doing better, whether as individuals or in a team. Motivational interviewing provides tools for engaging better and helping athletes motivate themselves to address challenges and reach their potential. It gives them autonomy. Motivational interviewing is a newer tactic in sports, and it's developed as a behavioral science tool for lifting motivation and encouraging behavioral change. Coaches or physical therapists use a mindset from fixing to guiding. So I think, especially in physical therapy, we're so used to fixing problems and fixing people that we have to shift our mindset a bit and say things like, I have ideas to offer you, but I'm curious about how you see yourself improving. Trust and mutual respect are the foundation for this shift and for using motivational interviewing. The method of motivational interviewing consists of a defined set of communication skills, such as curious, open-ended questions, listening statements, affirmations, and summaries. And these are used to draw out the athlete's ideas about how they might improve on and off the field. The more coaches or physical therapists use these skills, the better patients or athletes alike will perform. They'll have better self-confidence, social skills, and your relationship with them will be stronger. You want to focus on your language. As athletes or patients alike talk about change, they use language that lifts their motivation. Your job is to notice this and encourage it. You can connect skillfully and rapidly in most conversations, but this is an art form and you really need to work on it. Structured strategies for lifting motivation can be learned and practiced. So again, this is a skill we need to practice. Affirmation is a powerful alternative to praise. Pausing and listening are powerful responses to argument, disappointment, or difficult behavior. So much of the time, I think we feel like we need to offer all of these solutions, but helping an athlete disseminate the information and take away from their performances or their ability to perform certain functions or activities here in the clinic as physical therapists will help them learn much better than if we tell them what they need to learn from the experience. Humans have a what we call writing reflex, and that's a tendency to immediately jump in and want to correct something that we see as wrong. And there is wisdom in holding that writing reflex in check, holding your tongue, and staying cool and using guiding styles from your toolbox. The motto for motivational interviewing in sports and with athletes is, I guide, you decide. Making a decision to use a guiding style is the first step, but being excellent at that takes a lot of practice. So that's why we as physical therapists need to work on that. Learning skills that help you be centered and relaxed in the conversation helps you to have better access to those skills. In the same way that a focused and prepared athlete will have a better ability to perform. As physical therapists or as coaches, we need to sit down and practice statements that we would say to the athlete or questions that we would ask the athlete. I think asking for their permission to share something with them is really important because it helps them create a mindset where they're listening and welcoming that advice. I think that being open to change is also really important. If you've been a physical therapist or a coach for a long time, I think some of this might be a little harder because we're so ingrained in how we do things. And I can tell you, as a former athlete and a former patient in physical therapy, I would have really appreciated some of these techniques because I think it would have helped me feel more heard as an athlete or even as a patient, and helped me feel like I had permission to then contribute to the conversation. And I think it would have helped me really learn better from my mistakes versus someone just yelling or screaming at me. Not in the clinic, my PT was never that mean, but on the basketball court and locker room, that sort of thing, there's a time and a place for that. But I think it's really important to be able to meet with your athletes and talk with them in a way that the athlete really learns from that experience and takes a lot away from that. So before we close, I wanted to talk about useful questions. Questions are a great way to get the best out of athletes or patients, particularly if you invite them to search for answers with a guiding style and questions that are open-ended rather than closed. You want to use questions along with other skills such as listening and summarizing, and notice evidence of their strengths as they talk, and use affirmations to highlight these. Open, thoughtful questions can help you deepen your connection with the athletes and can also be more focused on improvement. In order to connect with the athlete, curiosity should be your number one starting point. Some examples would be, how did you manage to hit that ball so hard? What happened for you out there? How is your game going at the moment? How are you today? What's it been like in practice today? One of the first questions that I ask patients is, how was your practice today? How'd it go? What'd you guys do today? Or maybe, how was your day? What was the best part about your day? Maybe what was the hardest part of your day? And start out with that before I even ask how their knee or ankle or back's feeling. Use listening statements immediately after the athlete responds. And if you get a bit stuck, summarize and then move on to another question. But you want to connect first. When using motivational interviewing, questions are forward-looking and designed to focus on improvement and change. The answers to them will be things that athletes say that help them to motivate themselves. If it's a behavior problem, you can ask questions like, how do you see yourself dealing with this problem better in the future? What are the benefits to you of handling this more constructively? You are late for practice again today. What can you do to improve next time? I've noticed that I get a lot more out of employees as well when I ask questions like this versus directing them to never be late again or writing them up or things like that. Most of us don't want to mess up, especially when we're high achieving athletes or professionals. So I think when we ask questions of athletes in this way, it helps them learn better from them. In terms of motivation, here are some questions that we can ask the athlete. What's going to help you get fired up today? How do you see the benefits of moving to your new position? How important is it for you to have an overpowering serve? How confident do you feel about covering their left wing? And with goal setting, we can ask questions such as, what's holding you back? What goal do you want to aim for? Why is this goal important to you? What will help you be your best? What's the best way for you to reach this goal? How committed are you to this plan? What's helped you in the past? And what's the first step that you can take? Those are all questions that we generally ask our patients. They're all questions that we ask on the first visit, and they're questions that we continue to follow up with as well. We want to empower the patient with the opportunity and vision to improve long term. So those are some of the questions that we definitely try to focus on. Motivational interviewing involves using the skill of listening in a purposeful way when talking about improvement, and it's important to get the basics right. Listening reinforces your respect for the athlete's own wisdom and your care for the athlete as a person. It involves hearing what is said and then responding in a way that shows that you are present and not distracted and that you care. Clearing your mind and following your curiosity will set you up to listen well. We have to be present in the moment. I think this is important for most of the relationships that we're in. An example would be the day before a big competition, one of your top athletes says, can you sit down because I have some really bad news? And then your mind is immediately clear and receptive and you're curious about what's going to be said. Connecting involves curiosity and only one focus, the athlete's experience or concern. You want to hear what is being said, summarize it in your own mind, and say your summary back to the athlete. So if the athlete's had a traumatic event, for example, you could say something like, you've had quite a shock and you're not sure what to do. That's a listening statement. she or he will feel that you understand, then you don't want to jump in, stay quiet and pause and even take a breath. That invites that athlete to speak again. Being precise in what you say is not the goal. You want to use simple statements, listening statements. Questions and listening statements work together. If you start with a curious question, try to follow it with 2 to 3 listening statements as you confirm the athlete's experience with the statements, the connection between you and the athlete strengthens. To wrap this up, motivational interviewing offers a powerful framework for physical therapists working with athletes. And by adopting the motivational interviewing mindset and skills, physical therapists and coaches can enhance their effectiveness, build stronger relationships with athletes to better recovery outcomes and athletic performance. You want to remember that the key to being a great physical therapist, like a great coach, is bringing out the best in your athletes. By mastering the art of motivational interviewing, you can guide athletes to tap into their own motivation and resources, leading to more successful rehabilitation and return to sport. If you're an athlete or patient alike listening right now, understand that it's really important to work with a physical therapist who keep these things in mind. It's important to have a coach who also respects you and values the importance of listening to you. Communication and relationships are something that we all have to work on. And as an athlete, it's really important to take the time to understand how important it is to communicate well with your coaches, with your whole team, your physical therapists, your physicians, your parents, the athletic trainers, but also likewise, it's important for us as providers or coaches to hone in our skills and to be better at learning how to listen and motivate our athletes to get the best outcomes. Thank you for joining us today on this exploration of motivational interviewing in sports and physical therapy.